But this morning when I woke up, I felt like the Lord just wanted me to talk a little bit about all I labeled down here was the gay issue. Not the Chick-fil-A issue, but the gay issue, all right? But I want to preface it with this. When something comes up, you go, ugh. Especially if it's something scriptural. But even if it's just something I say, I want you to not protect that area. I want you to go, God, why is it when I hear Les say that, I'm so annoyed? Because there's really nothing up here I should say that you're offended by unless you protect it, your belief so much and you're so adamant that you're right about everything that then there's an offense there maybe. But just to talk about, that's what I want to do. I just want to talk about this gay issue. It's been in the news a lot. I don't have a TV to watch. I mean, I have TV, but I have no cable. I have no news to watch. I don't read the newspaper. So I was kind of surprised when I went back on Facebook and it's all blown up with Chick-fil-A appreciation. But I want to preface it with a conversation I had with Jim Sim driving to go have lunch with somebody, with a business person one day, is I asked him a question about the Holy Spirit, specifically about speaking in tongues. And we talked for a full 30 minutes about speaking in tongues, and we completely, absolutely disagree on the topic we spoke about. Completely disagree about it. And it was amazing. And I think that the view he's taking is more prone to my logical view, and that my view is more prone to his emotional or his more spiritual view. But it wasn't. It was completely opposite. But you know what? In that conversation, there was nothing for us to protect because we both knew it doesn't matter what we think. It doesn't matter what we think. It doesn't matter what we think on this issue. It matters, are we hearing him and being grown and led by him? Okay, so we don't gather here this morning because all of our doctrine's the same. Because I had this real funny thought about tongues. Like the next day, I was like, so here's two people. We're both Assembly of God. Of course, he's Scottish Assembly of God, which came after American Assembly of God. So just so you get that part right. We were American. And then so we have the same doctrinal set, but we believe completely two different things about what tongues is. And I thought, you know what? In our small church of 30 or 40 or 50 people that call this church home, there's like people who don't even believe tongues should exist today. There's people who have been taught that it's of the devil that are here today. There's people that believe that it's ceased and dead and all gone today. But it doesn't really matter, does it? So what is the Lord saying to us, to you, and how are you receiving what he's saying? So it's the same with this topic. We're not looking to discover exactly what everything is right and everything's wrong. We lose if we do that. We polarize. We draw lines for battle, and we don't have that battle going on here Sunday morning. So I'm going to preface this with three things. I'm convinced that homosexuality is a sin. To me, it appears very evident in Old and New Testament that it's a sin. Okay? And I'm going to go deeper than that also. I'm convinced that since it's a sexual sin, it's more damaging than other sins. Paul says that several times that the sexual sin does something to your temple. And not just homosexuality, it's adultery is the same way. Okay? There's a different level when we take God's sacred temple where he chooses to live as a believer and we do something immoral with that body. Does that make sense? And I'm not going to give you scriptures that are easy to find. Just go anywhere on topic and look it up, and everybody will be arguing using the same scriptures. Okay? The third thing I'm convinced, Paul talks about this in Romans in the very first part. I'm convinced that since it breaks natural laws, natural physical sexual laws, that it's even more damaging and more painful pertaining to the person's soul than regular adultery or than regular sin. All right? So I'm preface that with these three things. All right? None of that is political. By the way, that's scriptural. That's my personal belief, and everybody in here has the right to like just believe whatever you want in that. But if we're going to be followers of Christ, then it's got to be prefaced on scripture and then the heart of God. All right. Now it becomes political when we talk about same-sex marriage. Do we boycott? Do we support? What do we do? Okay. So this is the question: can I hold two opposing thoughts at the same time? Can I have those three thoughts over here, and also can I have this other thought here, not hate, not judge, not condemn, and not be afraid of the homosexual? Can I do both? Well, sure seems like it's really hard to do, though, isn't it? Because once I feel like I'm right, I just got a whole load of ammunition. And it's like I have the right and the place and the privilege to let everybody know how right I am, and I can start beating up on this group over here now. What's interesting is you got a group over here that they have scripture that it's all okay, that God loves everybody. Love is love. Love is what you ever want it to be. And they're just as angry and mad and judgmental and afraid as a more conservative view over here. Both equally, adamantly, right in their hearts, they believe, and willing to judge and condemn and to hate and to be afraid. All the things that Christianity says he removes from us that we're not supposed to walk in. All right? So, if God wrote these three things, if the Bible is written, and I've got this right at all, and he agrees with these things that he wrote in his word, does he then hate and is afraid of and condemn the homosexual population? I don't think he does. But if he does, that's him, not me. His place to do that, not mine. Never mine, okay? That doesn't mean if you want to be an elder here or preach here, if you're in a homosexual relationship, you wouldn't be able to do that. You probably wouldn't want to be comfortable here. And that's okay. For about 6 months when we first started, we had a gay man sit right back there the entire time. And I spoke with him. He was here 1 week and not here the next week because he was going to be with his boyfriend in Austin, who lived in Austin. They were separated because of jobs. And it doesn't matter, though, my opinion or my take on this. Okay, so we know that it's God's place to judge them. In fact, I know that it's God's place to judge whatever Ron does, so therefore I don't have to judge him. And I know the grace that God has given me in his judgment towards me, so I've been forgiven much, so I want to forgive much, all right? So really, instead of being in opposition to something, we should really be for something, all right? I'm really, really for God. I'm really, really for Scripture. So then if that makes me look like or puts me in a position of that I'm a bigot or I'm whatever you call them, or I'm a homophobe, then so be it. I can't, like, not be that way, okay? Those are my sets of beliefs, and I have a right to believe that. But this other group of Christians over here, they have a right to believe that. And we should give them the grace to be what we consider is wrong. And I mean that. And we should have the grace to let them be wrong. The churches this morning here in our like 7 or 8 mile radius, there's like 50 or 60 churches that are meeting this morning of all different types, all different denominations, and some teach totally against God ever talking to you except through Scripture. And that's okay. We that's okay. That's all right. We don't teach that. All right. But that's okay. And so I want us to get whatever we have in our hearts right. And as a challenge to us, love isn't whatever we want love to be. Love is what God says through Scripture that love is. Okay? Does that make sense? So it's not everything's not love. There's a great song by Christina Aguilar, and it's called Beautiful. What's it called? You young kids will know. You're so beautiful. You are beautiful. Thank you. I had to go to an even younger crowd. It's a great song. And really it says that everything is beautiful, but it's not true. The only thing that's truly beautiful are the things that the Lord says are beautiful. I want us to get that clear. So we don't get to choose, as he is our Lord and Savior, our King, our everything, the one we've given our lives to. He lets us know what is beautiful and what is love and what is loving and what is kind. All right? And he says that homosexuality does not fall into the loving category, the beautiful category, okay? At the same time, he tells me, as a believer, exactly what my heart's supposed to look like towards those who would throw things at me like I'm a homophobe, who would want to argue with me, want to whatever against me, he already tells me how to be loving towards them. It's not my job to make sure that they're in right relationship. It's always me about my heart. And I'm amazed? I'm amazed by the church's ability to feel so comfortable condemning people. I'm amazed by that. I'm shocked by that. On both sides. I can't believe the conservative church, the words that come out of their mouth, and then the liberal church, the words, they're the exact same. They're on the exact same side. No, they're not. They're each in a ditch on the side of the road. That's where they're at. So we need to check our hearts. We need to check who we are. Okay, so I'm not going to touch the Chick-fil-A issue. I don't know anything about it. I love Chick-fil-A. I'm totally sure Jesus would drive his fuel-efficient car through Chick-fil-A and get a salad because he's vegetarian and he's eco. I'm kidding. All right? So, and I'm going to talk a little bit as we go into the political season. I've never talked on politics. But what if politics aren't about politics? It's about our hearts. What if politics are really, really, really allowing your fear to be exposed so the Lord can heal it? Your anger to be exposed for the Lord to heal it? Your judgment to be exposed for the Lord to heal it? And that's all the political season is about. Could be. So this two ditches instead of the middle of the road. I'm going to get to that in just a minute. But it's funny because I'm a contrarian, a little bit of a contrarian, okay? That means I'm a little bit irritant to everybody. So whatever situation I'm in, I'm probably talking, asking them questions that are irritating them. And then if I'm over here, I'm irritating this group over here. I'm okay with that. It's my gift to the body of Christ. And you can thank God for it. So my conservative friends think I'm liberal. My liberal friends think I'm conservative. Because the only place they can put me is in one box or another. And if I ask a question, if I ask a question about, well, why did you do this, or why did you do that, or why do you think it's okay to do that, just because I ask a question, they immediately assume that I'm with the other side because I'm curious about what motivated them. It's a really, really fascinating thing. Now, so I love Chick-fil-A. I eat there at least once a week. I think they've modeled a lot of true Christianity when it comes to business. They haven't thrown their fish up there on the sign and done crummy business. They have really good business. And Kathy Truitt's story is amazing of God's grace in his life. And I'm a conservative. I am super conservative. The first time I got to vote was in 1980, and guess who I voted for? Ronald Reagan. I turned 18 that year. I voted for Reagan. I voted for a Bush three different times, I guess four different times, actually, if I think about with my voting. But I don't let any of that shape how I read my scripture. How dare I let my politics shape how I use scripture? How dare I read God's word that's so valuable to me, and I read it and I look for things to condemn others by or things to prove my politics are right? It's not about me being right. It's about me being in him. And in him, then I have some sense of flow in my life. And also, I know we're in a really weird season when it comes to finances. I love free enterprise. I love prosperity. I believe the blessing of the Lord out of the Bible, it's very clear. It is spiritual, but it's some of this other too. And we're in United States of America, and there is an amazing grace on the free enterprise system that no other nation has, that other nations want to model themselves after. Or the way we vote, you know, when Obama became president or Bush became president or the next president, we probably won't have any military involved, will we? No fist fights. No, I mean, we're in a great nation. There's a grace that comes over us because of the system that's set in place here. But let me tell you, that's not the grace. That's not the grace. That's a grace. That's a general grace, but that's not the blessing. The blessing is the peace and the kingdom in us and through us, and that's the grace we should really, really be thinking about. So I have this group of Facebook friends that are on this side and that are on this side. And so they're both church-going friends. And it's like they've never even had a conversation together. Because this one here is so easy to put up anything they want to about Republicans, about being pro-guns, and about being all of these things that are of this. Like they're good Christian values to own a gun. That doesn't make any sense at all. And I'm not anti. I think everybody should own a gun. Somebody should give me a gun. See? But over here, so over here though, there's another set of Facebook friends that are Christians that think it's awful to own a gun. That think government should be really big. So see what it is, and they're making it sound like they're spiritual endeavors and that they're better than one another because of their set of beliefs, and it doesn't make any sense. Why don't we shut up about that and share with the world what God's doing in our lives? Oh, wait. Most of us, our hearts are pretty hard. Not us. I mean, outside of the Journey Church. I mean, think about it. The world's not dying to hear your political position. They're dying to hear what Jesus did in and through me. What Jesus has done for me, is doing for me, and will do for me. And man, it's so hard. I mean, you can't be with a group of pastors and not just have all this junk politically and culturally like it's heavenly coming out. And you know what? It's always made me a little sick. And it's just making me more and more sick. But I don't speak up a lot about it because it's such an easy place to get judged. You know, it's such an easy place to get judged. It's such an easy way to misconstrue it and things like that. And you're fighting against different things. But you know what? I kind of mentioned this to Mike this morning. Jesus will never be who you demand him to be. He will never be who you demand him to be. He will never be who you demand him to be. He won't be conservative. He won't be liberal. He won't be eco-friendly. And he won't be a gunman or whatever. I don't know what that is. National NRA member. He won't be who you have to have him be, who you demand him to be. He is who he is. And our job is to open our hearts to who he is. And that means open our hearts to who he is in his kingdom if I'm part of the NRA or if I'm part of, I don't know what else. If I'm part of PETA. If I work in the oil and gas industry, or if I work in ministry, it's the exact same thing. His light inside of me, shining through me. So these two ditches. Let's not be a church that's in the ditches. Just be right on with him, holding his hand, and we will want to veer into a ditch. We will want to veer into a ditch. It is my nature to want to know exactly what will make God happy. And then when I know exactly what will make him happy, I will do that. I'll be a good person. And then I will happily judge other people who aren't fulfilling what he just told me to do. We can't be those people. Okay. Well, it's not on my notes, Aaron, but this would be my hope is that we would turn off the news. We would turn off Fox, we would turn off CNN, we would turn off even the funny stuff like Stephen Colbert and stuff like that, which I think is hilarious, but it pokes and it's mean and it's wrong to make little of people and their politics and who they are. Then anytime we heard anything that would be disrespectful to our president, that we would turn it off. Anything that's nitpicky and but you know, we're so used to it, we don't think it's awful. We think it's all right on either side. So turn that off. And then literally, I mean, to go just, God, what do you want me? I mean, that's what I don't get as a conservative. A conservative value is I will work, I will be responsible for myself. I will try not to make the government responsible for me. I will work on my own. I will take responsibility for myself. Yet then we blame everybody for everything. You know? And I think that is first is to turn that off and try to tune into what Jesus is saying. And Jesus doesn't sound like Hannity. He doesn't sound like Glenn Beck. I'm telling you, he doesn't sound like John, who's that hilarious guy? Stewart. That guy can be brilliant, and he can be brutal to both sides, but it's yuck. And don't get me wrong. I think our men and women should be in politics, just like I think we should be doing everything. I think we should be in politics. There are some people that need to listen, but most of us, our lives are not at all being enhanced or blessed by knowing all this stuff on either side, by taking these hard positions. If you want to be vegetarian, be vegetarian. If you want to eat meat, eat meat. I don't care. Jesus doesn't care. He could care less. He doesn't care if you drive a big SUV or a car that you have to plug in every night. He doesn't care. He cares about me, and he cares about you, and he cares about me in relationship to you and those around me. All right? So I will think more about that, but I would say turn it off and tune into him. I'm serious. We are so distracted and addicted to stuff and to information, and it is poisoning. It is poisoning our souls. It's poisoning in our mind. It's poisoning in our hearts. And this is, I'm going to kind of end with this. It kind of goes along without being practical with this. It's just, Proverbs says, guard your heart, for out of it flows all the good things of life. You wonder why your heart's not flowing with love and compassion and tenderness, and you wish I was like them. There's something stopping us up. Guard your heart. Don't let anybody have a piece of your heart. I heard this week, at the place Stevie was at, actually listening to a guy that was with where Stevie was at, is don't sell anybody real estate in your mind. I'm like, that is perfect. Don't give them a piece of property up here where they can put up camp and put up buildings, and it's the nature of a stronghold to just get up there and just so it's just it's always going. All right, guard your heart. Think about when you feel fear when you hear about politics. Ask God why you feel afraid. When you feel angry, ask God why you feel afraid. Because anger is coming out of that fear. But whatever happened to us going, God, think about that. Jesus was in captivity. He was born into Roman rule. Think about that. Was he blessed? Of course he was. Did he get to do everything his father wanted him to do? Of course he did. Did he fulfill his time on earth perfectly? Of course he did. We are so blessed here. Things are so good. And for us to hear all the time how bad they are and how bad they're going to be if anybody gets voted in, is ridiculous. It's wrong. It's wrong, wrong, wrong. And so we really need to guard our hearts on this. And it's that idea of inviting. You're not just saying, God, give me peace. God, give me peace. God, give me peace. It's like, Jesus, right now, I just got done with that, listening to that news show, and I'm bothered by it. What do you want to tell me about that? Not what do you want to tell me to have a right opinion so I can tell other people. What do you want to tell me about that? Second thing is the real estate. Don't, so much of what goes on is positioned against the Lord. There's a saying, I have a radio television film degree from like way back in the 80s. There's a saying that we used to use called the nature of the beast for television. Well, the nature of the beast is news that it's lying to you. Not purposely lying to you, but when you hear about a war that's going on, or you hear about Israel, and you hear 3 minutes of it on the nightly news, they just had to leave out 23 hours and 57 minutes of actually what happened and all the years of history. And then when you watch it on an hour show, you're still leaving out stuff all the time. And so it's not healthy for us. We're made to commune with him. We're made to be with him. We're made to talk to him. We're made to be led by him. Scripture says that the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. It's not he leads us into the political party that we think is right, and then he leaves us there, and we know everything now. We just have to adhere to the political party beliefs or our cultural beliefs. It's a leading into all the time into what is true. And I would say also what is right and what is pure and what is godly and what is holy. Not just what is right politically. So do you think that whatever happens at this political season, Jesus is going, oh, my dad, instead of oh, my God. But do you think he's up there doing that? Do you think he's going, oh, no, what am I going to do with America? It's going, oh, man, my plan is just darn. He's not. So why would we if we're looking to him? He is stable. He is righteous. He is good. He is perfect. He is pure. So when you're talking, so when we're talking about political things, and we're wanting to apply scripture to them, let us get the big picture. the big picture of two things. The big picture of the story of Scripture, not one verse that says everybody that does this is going here. Not everybody that does this is this. Not one verse, but the big picture of Scripture and then the big picture of who God is. If we can go after the big picture, it's a lot better. I can't believe how much permission I'm given to talk to people and to actually ask questions and to actually kind of poke around in their lives, that if I went after them with what I believe first, they would just totally close down. They would feel automatically that they were being attacked or judged. But if I just ask a question, like, even why do you believe that? That's, I don't get that. And if I'm honestly that way, that they will respond to me. And so I wrote down as a couple last things here. Don't forget the foolishness of the cross. It's not the political system. It's the foolishness of the cross. It's the simplicity of Jesus. And we sang today that he's jealous for us. He's jealous to get your heart back from your political system, from your culture, even from the belief system of your family. He wants that back. He wants that. He wants your mind and your emotions. He's the only one who loves your soul to the point where he can heal your soul. And then I wrote down that irritating and life-wrecking teacher named Jesus. He's irritating. So get this. I'm gonna repeat something that Mike and I said. So this is what says in Scripture. So if you're rich, be sad because your wealth is going to be taken away. If you're poor, be happy because your poverty won't matter later on. If you're poor, work really hard. Be diligent. Don't be embarrassing to the faith. If you're rich, give to the poor. Okay. So if you're happy, be sad. If you're sad, be happy. If you're in mourning, stop and have joy. If you have ashes, you get beauty. Yeah, it's all such a drawing out of us and pressing into us the things of God. If you're sad today, be happy because tomorrow's coming. And we get so hooked into the system that it's damaging to us and it's damaging to those around us. All right, just go ahead and bow our heads. Well, Father, first we want to just say that we've been some of those people sometimes on either side of the road in that ditch. And God, that those ditches, I heard some time ago, a long time ago, that those ditches are a ditch is just a grave with both ends kicked out, Father God. And we do not want to be in those ditches. We don't want to be in those graves. We want to be living free on that road with you. And if there's a brother holding your other hand that we don't agree with, God, that you still connect us somehow. I can't get it in my mind. I often don't want it to be true that you're loving in such a great way. I don't get it. But God, I see it in Scripture. I see it in your word. I see it in the example of Jesus. So God, we say we want to be alive with you. And God, remove the stuff in us like judgment and condemnation. And God, show us where we need to be convinced of who you are, convinced of your love, your goodness, your ability to reach those that seem unreachable, your ability to reach those that we think are unreachable, that are convinced that they are unreachable also. But you're that God, and we have that hope and that faith and that confidence in you. God, remind us that you are the bread of life. You are the way. You are the truth. You are life. The stream of living water. You're the anointing oil. You're the fullness of everything that we need and everything that we are. You're the bread. You're the wind and you're the fire. You're the vine that we need to be tapped into. This morning, convince us, show us if there's anything else that we're tapping into, Lord. And we repent of that. We walk in the blessing and the fullness of who you are. We walk in the blessing of Genesis. It says, I will bless you to be a blessing to those around you. God, show us. We've been a blessing to this community, to people around us, to ministries, to others. God, show us to how to be a blessing in this political season. A blessing with our words, not sharpened for war, Father God, but our words filled with healing, filled with hope,
filled even with curiosity towards why somebody would describe you in a different way. God, let us not be afraid of others that call you Father. Let us not be afraid of others to call you Lord, yet seem so different from us. And God, show us that it is the fear in us that you really want to take care of. It's the judgment and condemnation in us that you really want to take care of. So we just thank you for that. We thank you for your hope and your life. We thank you for your presence in us and through us, Lord Jesus. In your Son's name, everybody said, amen. God bless you.